KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Sector Talk Show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb, right over here.
And Jason.
That's right. We're here to bring you the geek all Monday long from 6 to 8. Hopefully that's enough geek for you to contain with. But so, gentlemen, how have you been?
Been good. Early mornings, but still a good time.
Very early mornings because he can't talk straight.
Research into design thingies and swivelly bits, like how to.
Swivelly bits.
Yes. Figuring out how to show and how to expose and compress information on a screen so that you're not completely overloaded when you don't want to.
Everybody gets all weird whenever I show off my swivelly bits, but
that's a slightly different story.
Oh, but, okay.
But yeah, other than that, not too much else. Actually, the main thing I've been doing is watching a lot of Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember catching parts of the original show, but didn't have cable at the time, so I didn't get to see all of it at once. I'm like, this show's actually rather good.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I've been meaning to rewatch that too.
Yeah, I remember liking Hot Girl in the original when I first watched it. And I'm like, yep, still think she's one of the cooler characters.
Are you starting with Unlimited or starting with Justice League?
I started with Justice League, and okay. I'm onto Unlimited. It was really interesting though, going from Justice League to Unlimited, because the cast like expanded exponentially by like about 3 or 4 magnitudes. Like, holy smokes, they went from I know all of these characters to I think I need to look that guy up online. I don't know what this who this person is, but it's still good. I like it a lot.
I agree. Yeah,
Jason.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
I finally buckled down and watched all of the Bravest Warriors episodes up to current, and. And yeah, I love that show so much. It's a shame that it's not available more places. I know it's very much YouTube trying to sell YouTube, but it would be really cool if it was available slightly more places. But I mean, heck, you can watch YouTube on video consoles and DVD players, all sorts of things these days. So I guess it's not that awkward for anybody.
The list of places where you can't get YouTube is shorter than the list of places you can get YouTube, I think, at this point.
Right, yeah. And I think people would riot if they ever bought a cell phone that didn't have YouTube as one of the big features on it.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who aren't familiar with what you're talking about,
It's a show by Pendleton Ward, the creator of Adventure Time and various other Cartoon Network smaller shows in the past. But it's a slightly older cast, and they're effectively teenagers that their parents disappeared, and they try to fill in their shoes as the Bravest Warriors. And it's like a science fiction hero type of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's still very much dedicated to just being weird.
Yeah. Technically, it's actually being it's being headed up by Pendleton Ward's roommate.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't like technicalities. You know that about me. So,
but it is still. But you can tell that they've spent a lot of time with each other for vast amounts of time because, like, the humor style is very similar.
Yeah, I know. And plus, all the promos for it, it's always been Ward. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's still heavily involved in this, in it, but he's not like in the day-to-day production of it like he is with Adventure Time.
Yeah, it makes more sense. But yeah, it's very much the same sense of humor, and the kind of cool thing about it that I like, that's a nice twist on Adventure Time. Adventure Time still builds off of a story, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really make that its big thing or anything,
right.
But Bravest Warriors definitely puts a little bit more emphasis on having a branching storyline, so
mm-hmm.
It's kind of neat seeing how the characters end up evolving a little bit at a time and so on, even though it's a completely nonsensical show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can still jump in almost anywhere, but if you start from the beginning, it's a little bit more satisfying.
Right. And it has another one of those characters in it that I would have thought that I'd be completely and totally annoyed by. And since I didn't see you, Joe, wearing a Cowboy Bebop t-shirt, it reminds me of way back when, what's the kid's name in that one?
Oh, Edward. Randall Edward.
Right, when Edward was in that. First time I saw anything about Edward, I was like, that character's going to annoy the crud out of me. And then it ended up being, like, one of my favorite characters in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the exact same thing with that little
cat bug thing. It's a cat bug.
I can't. I shouldn't like that character as much as I do.
How can you hate cat bug, though?
I just love when it starts bamfing effectively into,
yes,
like, the invisible zone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was hilarious to me. But
yeah, it's like they really play the abilities and powers of all the characters off of each other really well, in terms of, like, they're not, like, overpowered, and they're not constantly using their power. So it's like it's a little bit smarter in a lot of things. It's more about the characters interacting than any special abilities they actually have.
And they have the requisite thing that they have in every single bit of science fiction now for some reason, but they do it in a way that I actually appreciate. They have time travel in it.
So, yes.
Thankfully, I enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Because I think there's too much of it otherwise, but
true. True.
I mean, leave time travel to things like Doctor Who, where it was invented and intended.
Or the time machine by H.G. Wells.
No. None of that.
No?
That's been played out. But yeah, definitely Doctor Who and Back to the Future, that's it. Nobody else is allowed to use time travel from this point forward, okay? People? You hear me. I know you do.
It's a bold
claim.
Right. There will be problems.
So how about you, Joe? What have you been up to?
Let's see. I saw a movie that we'll talk about when we get to the movies from June.
Uh-huh.
Which technically we would have done that today, but since we didn't get to the games from E3 last week, that's what we're going to talk about this week.
Mm.
So I'm thinking next Monday we'll talk about the movies from June. Unless no one else has seen any of the movies from June, then it might be very boring. So, but we'll worry about that when that comes. Let's see. I finish off the Hammerlock DLC for Borderlands 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nothing else terribly exciting.
I finally got my season pass for Borderlands 2. Gave me a bit of a heart attack, though, right after I got the points. I'm like, I'm going to go get that. Logged onto the live site, click the button. We're sorry, we can't find your content. What? I had to search, like, backwards. Like, I had to go to Borderlands and then to Borderlands 2 Season Pass and then find it on the website. Never hit my brain that I'll just log on to Borderlands 2 on the Xbox and get it.
And just do it all from there. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a weird glitch on that one, too. Like, it got to the billing thing when I downloaded my first chunk of stuff from getting a season pass. And it said that there was, like, negative $9,099 that I needed to pay. And I was like, wait, how does that happen? And do I pay that? Am I getting money? That would be cool. I mean, that's a good, but yeah, it just wouldn't let me move forward at all. And so I went back, tried it like three times, and third time was the charm, if I remember right. But yeah, it just mystified me.
Yeah, I could see that being mystifying.
I'm glad you could see that.
I can see the future.
No.
All right, well, speaking of things from the future, let's hit up the new releases.
Sounds great.
Okay, in theaters, we have a film called A Band Called Death. Another film called Copperhead. If you're in the mood for, I guess, more zombie movies, there's Detention of the Dead.
Huh.
I'm so excited.
About what?
Yeah.
Nice. We have The Heat. That's probably the biggest one. Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy, and the girls and the guys. White House Down, because it has Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx
as
the president.
That's true.
So there you go. Those are the films in the theater.
Or as I've been informed by certain other people, it's supposed to be Channing Tatum, but I don't know. So
yeah, that sounds wrong for some reason.
Yeah, I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, over in the...
To each his own, I guess, right?
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. Hansel and Gretel Get Baked on Blu-ray and DVD. It is pretty much what it sounds like. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, also on Blu-ray and DVD. Movie called No on
No.
Blu-ray and DVD. Yeah, it's supposedly it's based on a...
Like K-N-O-W or
no,
just N-O?
N-O.
Okay.
It's based on the story of Chile and them trying to get their... the dictator out of office. So, interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Then there is Phantom on Blu-ray and DVD. Ooh. Yeah, this one's got... what's his bucket from X-Files in it? And
David Duchovny?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
I always think of the song every time I hear his name for some reason. Anyway, moving on.
And then finally, The Call on Blu-ray and DVD as well.
All right, moving from those to the video games, we have Company of Heroes 2 dropping on your PC. We've got Deadpool. We've got Project X Zone. We've got Ride to Hell Retribution. We've got some DLC for the game I mentioned earlier, Borderlands 2. Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep.
Wait, what? Really?
And then we have, yep, really. The Sims 3 Island Paradise for you Sims players out there. Doodle Jump for Kinect.
Ooh.
And that'll do. There's more, but that's just a sample.
Mm-hmm. Sampling of the comics coming out this week, actually tomorrow, this Wednesday. Superman and Batman number one. Larfleeze number one. This was a character from Blackest Night that apparently was very popular. Now you guys know how to play the game for the next couple comics.
Okay.
It's Guardians of the Galaxy number 4.
No!
Correct.
Okay.
And then...
Good job.
X-Men number 2.
Now?
No!
Yes! You guys win. then on the over in the indie titles, Star Wars Legacy number 2, or second part... Star Wars Legacy 2, number 4.
No!
No, not quite.
Slightly later.
Yeah. Then there's Jupiter's Legacy number 2. And Regular Show, number 2 as well.
Okay.
Kind of like Adventure Time, the making comics of hit
That one still throws me off, not because I think it wouldn't be successful. It's just, it's got show in its name and to make a comic out of it, you know?
Yeah. Mine is not to wonder why, only to do is...
if it would have turned into Regular Comic, I would have been on board. But Regular Show... Mm. As a comic, I don't know.
That would have been actually.
Am I nitpicking here? I mean, I don't want to nitpick.
Maybe a little bit, but I could still. But I think it would have been kind of amusing if they'd like, then like, you know, had like a little like X for the show part, and then like comic plastered over it or something like that.
At,
you know,
yeah,
just for
at
like
the
a
very
nod,
least,
you know.
Yeah. Or story or whatever. I mean, I'll leave all the creative so, stuff to actual
regular
creative
stuff.
Yeah.
The comic.
All right. Nice. Well. I think we've got a good show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen out there in the audience.
Why? What have you heard?
Well, I time traveled to the future and heard
no!
that it was a good show, I guess.
Oh, wait, you're not in science fiction, so it's okay for you.
But yeah, we're as I mentioned before, in our core, we're going to hit the games that we enjoyed from E3. We'll touch on some hardware things because very shortly after we had our gigantic talk about the Xbox One and different things.
There was some news.
Yeah, Microsoft decided to change some things around. So we'll address that for a little bit, but we'll try to keep it focused to the games since we didn't get a chance to talk about that last week. Yeah. And no real game discussion section since it's going to be all about games. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it makes some sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we will have...
Caleb's Corner, yes, where I will be a little bit ranty about some of the changes the Xbox has made, and I will also clarify a small point in some of that relates to some of my earlier rants. So,
okay,
we'll go with that. So it's not all about the Xbox One, or
all about the Xbox One. Okay. There will be a palate cleanser after that will make our discussion of the Xbox One not moot.
Okay. So then, should we when we hit the core, just hit the games then and just mention the stuff that's been changed in Caleb's Corner since I assume that's what you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, they'll...
That way we're not kind of redundant.
That sounds good, yeah.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah.
Okay, all right, sounds good. And of course, we're going to bring you some news, gentlemen. Let's tease the folks with some news.
Robo Monkeys,
all right. Monkeys, I like the sound of that, all right.
Jim Carrey disses his own movie.
I heard about that. It's sad.
No. All right. Well, as I mentioned, we are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We're going to take a quick music break where I'm going to play some Yeah Yeah Yeahs, the track Sacrilege from the album Mosquito. All right. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Radio stream. Want to listen to KSU even when you are not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at kscu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website. And never be without the underground sound.
News.
Yeah, as we teased going into the...
Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KCU Santa Clara. We're in the news portion of the show. All right.
I was about to say we're in the news portion of the show. Relax.
But you didn't say welcome back to Robots Attack. You got to start it off with that.
All right.
You always got to start it off. You got to let people know what they're coming back to.
All right. So the story is that, in case you hadn't heard, Kick-Ass 2, which is the name of the movie.
Am I going to have to dump that?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But
Kick Donkey.
Yeah. Poor donkey. Keeps getting kicked. This is the second time. Anyway.
Right, exactly.
If you saw the first movie, you know that it's not one to shy away from a bit of violence.
It's not one to shy away from a lot of violence.
Or a lot of violence. And from what I can tell from the previews for 2, it's not going to be any less hard-hitting than the first one was.
It should be some par for coursing.
Yes, and the from what I hear of the comics, which I haven't had a chance to read, they are also pretty intense, so it should be interesting to see how that comes together. But recently, Jim Carrey, who plays one of the characters in the movie, came out on Twitter saying that he's not as keen on being a part of the film anymore because of the events of things like Sandy Hook and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of unfortunate, although I can see where he's coming from. It's a very much unfortunate timing in terms of getting good publicity to come out for the film itself.
Yeah, and I'm sure the producers for the film are less than happy with his timing on that.
yes, that they are not.
If you're going to do a movie like this, grow a conscience before the movie.
I think it's weird. It's like, because I know he said like he wants to distance himself from like the like promoting it and stuff. So it's like,
mm-hmm. Right?
Why tweet that then? Just don't be a part of it. And if people ask, then explain. It's like, It seems like this weird sort of half promoting the movie, like helping to promote the movie by doing this, and then half. Like, you know, this is why I'm not doing it sort of thing. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I understand where he's coming from, but it's kind of, okay.
Yeah.
To me, it makes sense for him just because every time I've seen an interview with him, I'm not sure he thinks through anything he ever has to say, which makes him hilarious. But yeah, not the most even keel.
Yeah. He did follow up with another tweet saying that, you know, he's probably just others involved in the film. He's not ashamed of the movie itself, but in light of the events like Sandy Hook, he has caused, as he's put it, a change of heart. So, I don't know. The producers of the film have, you know, obviously quickly stepped up to talk about what's going on, why, you know, and they've actually been relatively supportive, as all things considered, of how things have gone. Like, they aren't like, this guy. They have been slagging him. They're like, you know, we respect his politics, we respect his personal ethics and politics and stuff like that. And they also brought up that the purpose of the movie, the purpose that they're aiming for in the movie is not to be not to be glorifying of violence, but to show that violence has consequences. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how well they deliver on that. No. But you know, they are sort of trying to distance this idea that it's another vicious bloodbath kind of movie.
Yeah, it's weird. Like the first movie, I liked quite a bit, but this is going to sound like completely off. I know. But what I kind of liked about it was the morality of the movie, which sounds weird considering it's tons and tons of violence all over the place. But I really liked the one scene where Kick-Ass is trying to beat off all of these assumedly gang members off of some other guy. He's completely getting knocked all over the place. I mean, thankfully, due to his specialness, he's not completely out of the fight or whatnot, but the entire thing, like, well, what's wrong with you standing up for this guy? What's wrong with you, like, beating down this guy in the middle of no place? Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I like that aspect of it a lot. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does definitely bring up some of the ethical questions that one has to answer when dealing with those sort of situations in life,
or right.
Like how would you respond, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yep.
So there you go. There's more. We'll be interesting to see how that whole drama plays out for both sides of that equation.
Yeah. We'll see if it gets forgotten by the time the movie comes out or if it's still part of it.
Yeah. All
right.
Oh, okay. Well, I promised robotic monkeys. They're not fully formed yet, and it probably won't be a big surprise that they're once again one of the projects of DARPA.
No,
it's kind of interesting because, this story I grabbed off of Gizmodo, and they compare it to Terminator monkeys, And if
what could possibly go wrong with that with a statement like that?
Right. Once you see it, you'll kind of see how it fits, especially with the rear section of it and like the feet and whatnot. Definitely look like something straight out of T2 or something like that.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right now, the main thing that they're trying to do is demonstrate that they can make a form that can move in all directions relatively easily instead of trying to be like a straightforward and whatnot. But okay. It moves like a monkey does with that same jointing and so on. So with a lot of the other stuff that's been coming out where they're pushing a little bit more towards the more human style robots.
Right.
It seems like it's going to be more important for that sort of thing, for in case one of them doesn't perform like standing up, it'll be able to move around and get up and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So to me, it's probably more of a leaping off point. But what Gizmodo points out is that if these things get to like full speed and whatnot, they would be terrifying, because I can easily imagine having dozens of these things running around and completely terrorizing the populace.
Mm. Yeah, that would definitely, as looking at the picture, I'm like, yeah, that if that was running after me, I would be scared.
Right. The name of it is the iStruct Robo Ape. Mm-hmm. And there's video on it on the link that I'm going to post up. So check it out.
It's pretty.
Let it be the source of your nightmares.
While it is also frightening, it's also fascinating, because it's like the big dog thing where it's like you're just like, oh, that moves a little bit too naturally, like what it's supposed to be.
Right. Yeah. Right now, it's sort of like a slow motion version of how an ape would move.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like you mentioned with the different dogs that they've made. They mm-hmm. started out the exact same way. They walked a little bit awkwardly. They walked really slow. Now they're running as fast as cheetahs and so on. And it's scary.
Yeah.
And it didn't take them long to achieve that. It was like a year and a half.
Yeah.
So in a year and a half, I'm interested to see what this little robo-ape is going to be able to do.
Definitely.
And since Jason mentioned posting the link, and you and Caleb mentioned looking at the picture, Caleb, why don't you tell the folks how they can do all that? Obviously not while driving, but...
Yes, if you are in a safe location or in front of your computer, you can keep up with the stories that we post by going to our Facebook page. You can do a search for Robots Attack, two separate words, which should be the top hit. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe. And you can find us an email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if all of that's just like kind of like, wait, too many words,
too
words.
Too much information overload.
robotsattack.me. If you go there, all shall be revealed. Past episodes, show notes, and the button that says interact has links to all the things I have already described. Twitter, Facebook, and email. It's sort of awesome.
Yes. So join us. Participate on the show.
Please.
Makes it more fun. Last week we had some participation and it was fantastic.
Fan-freaking-tastic.
All right. Well, so from robo-monkeys and something that's fantastic, these are non-robo-animals, but the San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes?
And how?
Mm-hmm. But you have limited time to volunteer. Well, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in their local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. You can join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook, you know, while you're on there looking for Robots Attack.
Yeah. There you go. Find us, then find them.
And find them. See, it's like circular and... Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. Okay, my story doesn't have anything to do with animals, but you mentioned like the monkeys, if they could run, and you know, like catch you and be terrifying and
stuff like that.
Well, I don't really know how this has anything to do with that, but apparently the Wii balance board may help Parkinson's patients, researchers say. I snagged this story from Polygon. The Nintendo Wii's balance board may help Parkinson's patients regain balance control, according to a study reported by MedPage Today. According to research professor Antonella Pepe at the Fondosolini Santa Lucia in Rome, the Wii is an, quote, an excellent tool that can compete with other devices in terms of rehabilitation. Quote, the ability of the Wii balance board to stimulate the central nervous system makes it potentially useful in the rehabilitation of balance problems in patients with Parkinson's disease. The study, which used participants with an average age of 63, found that patients using the Wii in addition to regular exercise, cycling, and on a treadmill were able to increase their balance. However, researchers said that the pilot study lacked a control group and was therefore limited. Jennifer Trillich, PhD and clinical assistant professor of biomedical sciences at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine in Greenville. God, these long-ass names of schools. Suggested that patients who made improvements were likely benefiting from the treadmill and cycling exercises. Trick added that the balance board's narrow configuration could be limiting for general use in patients. The Wii has been used in health-related exercises before, including training inexperienced surgeons. The 360's Kinect has also been found to help stroke patients develop motor skills. So, there you go. Maybe okay. If they do a little more research, we balance board might, you know, help.
Yeah. I'm going to follow up with that.
Sure.
Adidas has been making some pretty interesting shoes lately. I mean, go figure, shoe company and trying to make interesting shoes.
What?
I know, groundbreaking. But they came out with one that really kind of blew me away because the entire sole of the shoe is nothing but springs.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a bunch of plastic springs that are made from a proprietary plastic that is basically made to not self-destruct because it's on the bottom of a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. But it kind of ends up looking like little rubber toothbrushes hanging off the bottom of your shoe. Except, like, wider, of course.
Naturally.
And then it has different zones of different springiness that basically make it so it's a better running shoe with a concentration towards sprinting.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it, not to mention, it just looks kind of psycho, which would be kind of neat to walk around showing off how psycho your shoes look. So
you really have spring in your step.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh. Hey.
And to me, it makes a lot of sense just because I don't know if you guys have ever seen where people have lost limbs and whatnot and they've still want to be able to run and they replace them with effectively a large carbon fiber spring.
Yeah.
Right. Or I have seen that. Yeah.
Anyway, so it's kind of the same idea, just applied to the entire sole of the foot.
Hmm.
And the entire thing looks kind of neat, too, just because it looks like something, the overall design of the shoe looks like something that should have stepped straight out of Mass Effect. It's very rocket ship with...
Take a drink.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, water.
Yes. Or whatever suits your location.
I like that. Okay, that makes sense. And is legal.
Yes.
Yes.
To consume.
Be smart. Be safe. Enjoy.
Your listeners are like, what are they talking about?
No clue. I lost it at this point. But yeah, and once again, I'm going to throw the pictures up so people can check them out.
Cool deal. Well, my story diverts rather drastically from all of the above, because it's about the Pope.
No, come on, you can do it.
Think okay, about who?
The Pope.
Okay, so let's see. Figure out
does
how
he have
can...
spring in his step?
Yeah. No, I know, I got it. The shoes are called wings, right?
No.
No?
Ah, shoot.
Well, I think...
They're called, actually, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, Adidas. They are called spring blades.
Spring
Wasn't
blades.
There something about this Pope being like...
A runner?
He doesn't... Well, something about shoes with him, like he doesn't... Well, okay, the previous Pope had like the classy, like red fancy shoes, but this guy's like a little more pious, I think, or whatever the word is.
Okay.
Like he doesn't...
He tends to be more humble. He doesn't want a lot of the, no flash.
So maybe that's how you do it. You spin it like, well, the previous Pope had, you know, about his shiny red shoes.
He might have worn rocket spring shoes.
This guy, he's got nice, comfortable... general purpose walking shoes, and in this case, they were not at a performance that was originally done held to be in his honor. The purpose, what it was a last minute change. Like they had a concert planned out long before he actually became Pope.
Okay.
Okay.
Like several.
So this was awkward because he was like, everybody was like, "Oh, we planned for the other guy. He's all into
yeah,
this stuff."
Yeah, this was planned.
We were going to present him with shoes.
Yeah. So this was planned well before he was named as Pope. Like, it's one of those things like, we know there's a new Pope coming. We're going to plan a concert for him. But when a Pope is chosen, they aren't always, the last person that was in the Pope's chair. So
right.
Yeah, there's...
This is more of a light jazz Pope. I'm sorry, I don't know, really.
But the main thing is, like, the reason he wasn't there was because he was trying to work out and finalize, like, a new appointment for one of the key Vatican seats, which is essentially becomes, like, the Secretary of State, effectively, like, in terms of, like, level of influence over the Vatican and the Church.
Okay.
So he's like, I am the Pope. My focus is making sure that we have good leadership and can move advance.
Not go listen to people sing for my enjoyment.
Well, it's still very early days for his popeness, so he probably wants to make sure he's got a nice solid base of good things going forward before, getting too involved.
Don't get me wrong. I appreciate his priorities and whatnot. He's just being kind of a douche.
Whoa.
I totally didn't mean that. I was trying to be probably kind of douchey myself. But
so, yeah, he just one of those interesting kind of like social faux pas that as we all try to figure out what's life like with the new Pope. And also the
right,
the
that totally seems like it should be a sitcom or something like that.
Getting to know you.
Seriously,
I'm just imagining like the intro for it. Him like looking at this big pile of shoes and just like tossing one over his shoulder, like.
Yeah, apparently the vision of the Vatican that plans out these things like his appearances and where he goes, like they even with the last Pope they were having trouble like making all of these appointments jive together. So apparently it's not just him. There's other things as well, but
okay. There's a lot of demand for the Pope.
He's true. He's kind of popular.
Dedicating malls, and, I mean holy malls, but.
We should probably move on before
we'll move
we
on
get
to
into too much
story,
trouble.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to move from the Pope to anyone here excited to see a movie called Pacific Rim?
Yes, 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 yes. Over
so
here.
So Caleb,
I agree with
excited.
Him.
All right, all right. Well, you might not have to waste your money in the theater because apparently...
It's going to be horrible, so don't bother.
No, this is not true.
No. See, apparently you could save your trouble and see a film called Atlantic Rim instead.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently there's this production company, The Asylum. Apparently they make
they do a lot of these
mockbusters. Pre-spinoff.
Yeah, they're doing one. Called Atlantic Rim, and you can kind of pretty much guess what it's mocking, quote unquote.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there any name attached to it that we would recognize or not? Really?
David Chokichi.
Oh, there we go.
I think that's who that guy is from Baywatch, and
sounds very familiar.
Oh, and then man, I forget his name. I remember him mostly from Dancing with Wolves. He was like the main Native American that Kevin Costner interacted with.
Oh, okay.
I forget his name, but
yeah.
He's also in Defiance, I think now, mm-hmm. The new show, and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, he is in it. I saw him in the trailer. And yeah.
I'm sure Defiance has never been prouder.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks pretty awesome. So, if you're like... Hey, I'm more of a fan of the Atlantic Ocean, not so much the Pacific Ocean.
I can
Where's my love?
Right, New Yorkers in general probably feel that way.
Yeah, here you go. It's in the form of Atlantic Rim.
There you go.
And yeah, so
there you go.
Be excited for that.
On the other hand, if you want something actually related to Pacific Rim that's kind of neat, you can check out Holly Conrad is actually designing some costuming for some commercials, apparently, for it that look kind of cool.
Hmm.
So check her out on Twitter if you can.
See, it would have been better if they had approached her for Atlantic Rim.
It's true.
And, you know,
they would have had some more, yeah, mm-hmm. coolness then.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, yeah, Atlantic Rim, everybody.
Woo! Definitely. All right, so does that wrap us up?
I got nothing else. I'm spent.
All righty. One more? Unamas?
Nah. He's just making random noises while caressing his phone, that's all. We're used to it.
Nothing that has to be talked about this week, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's going to wrap up the news. We'll take another music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner. Would you like to tease the folks? They're just joining us now and missed our amazing news portion of the show.
If you missed the news, Caleb Corner's next. I'm going to be talking about some kind of clarifying my stance on some things and my annoyance with some of the policy changes from Xbox.
All right.
Yeah. And we'll chime in on a little bit there since we kind of talked a big deal about that last week.
Yeah.
You know, we can mention things and then from there, we'll go into
chiming
the core and
will
hit
occur.
The games. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's get to that music break. I'm going to play the band Resistant Me, the track Tomorrow from their EP. All right. You're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Censored talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Welcome back to Robots Attack. This is the section called Caleb's Corner. We're here on KSCU 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara, yes. Thank you. I'm going to lead off with kind of clarifying my stance on some of my rants. Like, if you've been listening for a while, one of my
I really haven't.
You know, that goes without saying. one of my soapboxes is sort of the way that women and ladies are treated in our realm of society, geekdom and gamer geekdom especially.
And you'll note that I'm drawing sexy girl silhouettes right now.
Well, here's the thing. Caleb's done a complete 180. Now he's like, ha-ha, right. Chauvinist Caleb. Right? Is that what you were going to say?
Not quite so much.
Not quite. So it's close.
I just want, it's like the my personal agenda is not any particular group. It's not a singularly feminist agenda. It's not a male focused agenda. My end game, as it were, is that
there, I like that end game. That's pretty good.
Yeah, is that there's a form of equality, equality for people, be they.
So you don't like animals, is what you're saying?
No, stop it. Yeah, it's not that we lift up one gender over another, or one orientation over another, or that people that have physical challenges over others, or mental challenges over others. The idea is that if I could, you know, just get everyone together and like, let's all get on board with this, is like, these people. All of these people that you denigrate without thinking about it are actually people. They have, it's not, they might have, you know, been born with, you know, a defective gene in their system, and they now have a speech impediment, or they now have a, uh, or they were denied oxygen at birth, and now that part of their brain does not function like it it normally would, or maybe this
person down the line, all sorts of things.
Yeah, this person carries this person carries more weight than you. That's not necessarily a failing of them as a human being. That's, you know, where they are, how they are. Are they possibly working on it? Maybe. I don't know, but it is not our place to judge them because of this. I realize that that's kind of, well, that's easy for you to say. You don't know person Y or X, or I'm sure there's people in your life that are difficult to deal with, and I sympathize. There's, you know, that's...
Yeah,
that's...
I'm sitting next to one right now.
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just kidding.
You know, and I sympathize with that. You know, just...
I'm the person, North.
just trying to remind us all to be empathetic with one another, like try and really see and feel, you know, what life might be like for this other person. You know, what challenges they are potentially facing, and recognize that and where their life is, and it's not the same as your life.
Is this related to a certain situation that came up? Why you wanted to address this specifically, or just
well, in conversation with other people, it about like some of the things I talk about on my in these segments, it came up that, you know, there's the gaming treatment of women is something that needs to be addressed, and there's a lot of other people that are really viciously mistreated by the gamer community in the way that they speak to one another, the snide comments they make to another, be they anti-Semitic or what have you, like that, just kind of try, it's like let's elevate the level of conversation. Is all, you know, not that saying that we all need to like put our pinkies in the air and pretend that we're erudite in ways that we might not be, but let's just be a little bit sensitive, like, you know. Yeah.
Try and figure out where that line is. It's okay to rib somebody a little bit, but know where you're hurting that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, when you're in an online gaming scenario, the person on the other end, you don't know anything about them at all. Like, you could know them in meat space, you know, where, you know, but you know, digitally, they could be their digital persona could be completely divorced from who they are in real life. They, you know, so that's all.
Yeah, that seems real easy to poke fun at one another because there's no, you know, you're just speaking through.
Yeah, you're just a voice
electrons
on the internet.
And
until you step on that landmine and realize, oh, I was completely insensitive there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's ever happened to me.
and when you do this, just be human about that. Also, like, you know, be graceful about that on the other side as well. If you have received, try as best you can to be graceful in return, because personally, Ren might have also been having a rotten time or have other struggles going on. Just everyone try and treat each other like people. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
I mean, let's face it, just by virtue of us being gamers, it's a pretty good chance that we go to that scenario because there's something there that we would rather be doing that versus going out to bars and whatnot. And it's not to say that you don't do that anyway or whatnot. It's just chances are there's something that makes you different than somebody else. So just keep in mind that you're another one of those people.
Exactly. You know, it's like my platform, as it were, is equality for everyone. Like, let's try, like, there's not a higher or lower. There's people that are in life situations where they are in a better position to help someone else, but that doesn't make them better than them. It just means that they're in the right place at the right time, kind of thing. That's all. And just, you know, so that's the crux.
Makes sense. The more you know.
Ding 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 ding.
Good, now, good crux.
Thank you. And now I
like the cut of your crux.
Thank you. And now from that nice sort of like
positive message to
hippie scenario to a little bit of
to anger.
Not so much anger, just a little just frustration and just
I can feel more fire like coming off of you right now in preparation. Right.
The vibration. There's heat in here.
This is one of the things, like, I respect Microsoft for the that they made a tough call, but I'm really annoyed with the, with their backtracking on the of the game sharing scenario of Xbox One.
So okay. Why don't you break it down for the folks, you know,
break it down.
What happened. So, you know, yeah. Last week we talked about what Xbox One was doing and how we kind of saw benefits from it.
Yeah, what made it unique and positive. Yeah.
And then
what you were getting for all of the things that were inconvenient.
Yeah, right. Then Microsoft dropped some policy changes, and so now...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I do stand on the soapbox of not liking DRM very much, but I like... But what it really is I don't like insidiously designed DRM, which is what, like, some of the early attempts by Ubisoft and other people have tried to do to us gamers. I felt that the DRM requirements of Xbox One were actually fairly lenient. You need your Xbox pings the internet once a day with what they call a heartbeat, where it's like a couple of kilobytes of data. Even if you put it on your phone, it would not kill your data plan kind of thing. Right.
And literally all it is there for is to make sure that you're on the up and up.
Yeah. And for that, we would get family sharing. You could nominate 10.
So now, just before you hit that, so now it no longer has to be connected to the internet. It doesn't need to do that check once every 24 hours.
That has completely changed. You do not need your internet anymore. One of the things then they changed the way you share games. The way we've always shared games is you hand someone a disc with...
The PS4 way.
The PS4 way, the PS3 way, the Xbox 360 way, the GameFly way.
That they nowhere near heavy-handedly showed people how to do.
Yeah. The Xbox One way originally was you can give it to a friend, like just shove the bits and change the license to their name and their account. Or you could nominate 10 people that you will...
That are your family.
That are your family or close enough friends that you actually trust them to share a game with.
Yeah, I think technically it was they had to be your friend for 30 days.
Yes, that was the requirement. Like, friend for 30 days, and then you can offer them to share games with you. But you only get 10 of them, 10 people to share with. And you know, there's stipulations in it. And also home sharing included being able to for having anybody on that one Xbox to play any of the games on that Xbox, which technically you can sort of do by swapping discs, but you know it's not
without
quite the same.
Without any chance of harming your disc, to me is the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not jumping between systems and possibly scratching your disc every time you try and feed it into the machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also the gold account would have applies to the whole Xbox. I think that still stays. But
yeah, so for now the family sharing plan that was described is no longer available at launch. It might come back, but for now they're not doing it with the changes they made. So
yeah, that's my solace in all this is that they can still roll these changes out to us eventually. They're just going to rebrand it as some new feature of Live or whatever. Yeah. Which is fine.
So now you do the sharing as we mentioned.
As before.
Right.
Here you go. Here's the disc.
Here's a physical copy of this license for digital bits that you will put on your on this device and play.
And you have to have it in.
Yes. Oh, that. Yes.
In the Xbox now.
To play. Even if you've installed the game onto your hard drive like you can do on the 360, you still need the disc inside to do the game.
Because I think you're still going to have
thing
to.
That steams me.
If you buy a physical copy, you still have to install it on there.
That's the part I don't.
You still have to install.
Okay. It's
gone the PS3 route, effectively.
Mm. No.
Yeah, I'm just annoyed that you still need the disc in there after you've got the game. It's like, but then I get to the midpoint of Mass Effect 3, I have to break from the game.
That shouldn't be a problem now since they're Blu-ray discs. So.
Yeah, that'll be less
until somebody makes something big enough that it actually chews through one.
Yeah,
which they're gonna do eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah, I realize that that's more of a limitation of the DVD format, but it's, and it's not like a monumental physical effort to get up and change the disc, but it's an annoyance in the middle of an otherwise seamless gameplay experience.
Right. Yeah. When you're sitting down trying to concentrate on a story, it's not fun, like being taken completely out of it. I mean, it's effectively like commercials on TV. Do you like commercials? Are you really dedicated to that interaction with your movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before I mention another point, I need to tell people about the Silicon Valley Barbecue Championship.
Ooh.
Santa Clara's traditional all-city picnic will join forces with the Silicon Valley Barbecue Championships for an exciting two-day event in Central Park on Friday, June 28th and Saturday, June 29th. Co-hosted by the City of Santa Clara and the Rotary Club of Santa Clara, the event invites professional teams to compete in the Kansas City Barbecue Sanctioned Contest. That's right, sanctioned by Kansas City.
Nice.
Oh, snap.
So it's, you know, like, dang, it's official. It's, mm-hmm. it's, the event hours are Friday, June 28th from 4 to 8 p.m. and Saturday, June 29th from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Shoot, so, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I do like the irony of talking about not liking commercials and then skipping the PSA.
Well,
these not technically a commercial,
public service
but
announcements.
Still,
yeah.
We don't do commercials here at KSCU.
Right, right. Not allowed to.
We do PSAs.
Mm-hmm. Why would
correct?
We?
So you had a point before.
Oh, I was just going to say that sort of this now encourages me to buy my games digitally now,
yes,
instead of physically. So now,
yeah,
when we do the swapping from a movie to a friend's game invite, like, I don't have to worry about going and grabbing that disc and putting it in.
Yeah.
So it's nice that you can still do that with the games, because there's still going to be, you know,
now
day
there's gonna
one
be, yeah, there's
going to
be a bigger push for
stuff,
the day
so.
One thing. So that's good. I like that.
So now a good thing that's happened, I would say, is the region lock thing.
Yeah, they,
I mean, now that's
that.
Gone. So, because I know there were a lot of people complaining about that, like, well, I live in this other country, I couldn't get it, but now that it's not, I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's something they should have just done away with. I mean, it seemed like a lot of stuff now is region free or
yeah. It honestly, the whole regioning of stuff is just kind of silly. Like the timing of things is like, oh yeah, we're gonna release this movie at alternating months over the span of a year across the world. Like, what, really? Why would you bother doing that? Just release the dang movie.
Yeah. And then now it's selling it used games. It's just like it is how you do it now if you want to participate in that. So is there any other things from there that you are a positive or a negative, or did we cover everything? I think we.
Yeah, most of everything. I think I'm with you. Like, I'm gonna move to a more or less digital purchase of games going forward, because it just makes more sense, honestly. And now that they're gonna push for a digital, a download and disc day and date release, that will be kind of, they didn't say anything about that.
That's the thing that always killed me before, like, especially for me, all of the Call of Duty games. I like being able to have it on my hard drive, just because if somebody pops on that I like playing Call of Duty with, it's nice to be able to seamlessly jump into that from whatever game I'm playing or whatnot. And it was always a hassle for me before, like, I wanted that download, but I also wanted to play it on the first day, so having them evolve like that is kind of nice.
Yeah, and a positive to the not having to be on for folks in the military, that was a big thing. Now that it doesn't have to be always online, they can play it offline. The one thing that's going to be interesting is a lot of games that seem to be coming out.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to put a tag on that said, like, always need an internet connection or something, because there's a lot of them that seem like they're going to be using that cloud. They're going to be using that internet connection.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out, even though they've reversed some policies, you know, as time goes on, what actually comes back, what's going to end up actually really needing to be required, and all that jazz. So.
Yeah, they'll brand it as a feature now, I'm sure. Yeah. Which is honestly kind of what they should have done in the first place, because there were so many missteps in how they handled actually talking about this stuff, in my view.
Yeah, the messaging was just misstep after misstep after misstep in terms of that. So I think that's the PR war was the PR segment of E3 was won by Sony, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they did anything that was actually better in terms of technology.
And it seemed like Microsoft was a little bit quick to jump to sort of defensive anger or indignation whenever they were responding to people asking about this stuff too, which I'm sure didn't help very much.
Yeah, it's generally not a good stance to start with.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you think.
Please.
If any of these features have now changed your mind of, hey, well, now I might grab an Xbox One, or I'm going to now, or this or that, or we don't like, not like. And Caleb, how can they do that?
Well, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, 2 words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me. Or you can find us, you can get us on email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if all of that was just alphabet soup, hit us up on robotsattack.me. There we have archive episodes of our show, and we have the...
it's a smorgasbord of options.
Yes, and the interact button will take you to links for all of the things I've described ahead, Twitter, Facebook, and email. There you are.
And I probably completely mispronounced smorgasbord, but...
We do things to...
But if anybody knows how to pronounce it...
we mispronounce things on this show to protect the innocent.
Yes.
Exactly.
I think that was something brought up very early on in the show. Mm-hmm. You know, just a reminder for those who...
Yeah.
This is a new time slot, new day for us, so...
Yes.
And some new listeners and whatnot, so... All right, well, excellent Caleb's Corner, as always.
Thank you.
Let's take another music break. I'm going to play a track from the band Trainwreck Riders... called Give What You Save from the album Ghost Yards. I have no idea if this is any good. I guess we'll find out together.
Yep.
It's an adventure.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's adventure time. In a train yard. That's ghosts and stuff. Anyway, after that, we'll come back and talk about the games from E3. We'll finally just get to that. I think we've hit the hardware.
Mm-hmm. Talk about every single game at E3.
Every single one.
All of... No, we're not talking about all of them.
5 seconds on every single game.
Right. Yeah.
We'll talk like the Micro Machines guy.
Yeah. You've been practicing, Caleb? You ready to do that?
Caleb, we're not doing very well. Let's go forward.
All right. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website. robotsattack.me.
You are now entering the core.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. And you know, if you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. All right, we are in the core. Mm-hmm. Last week, we talked about mostly the Xbox One's hardware, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we didn't get a chance to get to the games. Now we're going to talk about the games.
Yes.
I know it seems like it has been kind of a while. E3 has passed. I'm sure a lot of people have already kind of talked about this stuff to death, but we haven't gotten our chance.
Yep.
Now that's what now we're doing.
We're going to do one short diversion to follow up on the caller question from last week.
We looked up Too Human.
Too Human.
Ah,
and that
game
is not available for on demand. Now, near as I can tell, if you own a copy of the disc still, you should be able to play it, because I don't remember having an especially strong amount of online play.
Right. But you can't get in any other way, because the company was sued out of existence and was ordered to destroy all their stuff.
Yep. Now, the Kingdom of Alamor, the Reckoning game, which was another company that famously went bankrupt. You can still get
but
that one.
Just went out of business.
Yeah, they just went out of business. You can still purchase that game on demand, and it should. And so there's not. So what it really is about whether the game company itself is continuing to support it or whether they are abandoning it. And if they choose to abandon it, that's not really going to change anything that Microsoft can do about it, other than possibly offer your game for download, like they can do with.
Yeah, and the cutting edge seems to be whether it had a court order to be destroyed.
Yeah,
which is a rarity.
It's pretty rare. All right, now that we've done our follow up, let's move on to the new stuff, things that are coming up, things that we are excited about. So. Jason, what do you
know? Who, you're just dying to mention a game.
Now I don't know which game. But I'm going to go with Titanfall to start off with.
Yeah, coming out strong, coming out big.
Right.
Yeah. Coming out hard.
I mean, it's true.
Because Max is robot. Right. It's hard as metal and stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, totally not awkward responding to that now. I mean, while it's true, it's not going to be a launch release or anything like that. It's going to be a little while before it comes out, at least the way I understood it.
Mm-hmm.
The things that kind of blew me away about it were how much more fluidly and logically things moved through the environment, and it completely changed the game of what you consider a mech, in my view. Mm-hmm. And it, not just as far as how it even moved, but how it interacts with you also. It's so cool seeing it. Like, I'd assume having some sort of order that you need to get in the mech, and having the mech actually come to you, scoop you up, and put you in the mech. I mean, that's kind of sweet, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what you'd want a pet mech to do, I'd assume.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool seeing the back and forth in interaction between straight up humans with sidearms and giant mechs with robo shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that there actually is a balance between the two.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something that you think like, oh great, is it just gonna be like everybody just get to a mech as fast as possible and being on the ground is not going to be that great, but it looks like they've struck a good balance between being a regular soldier and...
Right, because mechs are big and unwieldy, even if they do move fluidly, so it makes a little bit of sense if you have the ability to scamper up a mech. It probably would be a good way to get rid of a mech.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like how it... you can put it like in a guard mode so that, you know, it'll actually defend or follow you. You can tell it to stay or, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of neat too. Like the little things like that are things that we've kind of gotten used to from the new Call of Duty games with having some of the kill streaks or point streaks, whatever you want to choose from whatever game, having them react in ways sort of similar to that. Like they had both with the most recent game and the previous game, a helicopter option of something that follows you around and kind of defends you a little bit.
Right,
it's kind of neat seeing that branch out into an actual just fully fleshed out piece of gameplay instead of just some special thing to call in.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's just super exciting to see also the idea of like the game being both multiplayer and solo player at the same time, which is something that they kind of are playing with the Destiny game also.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like, you know, you can go into an area and something can happen that can involve any player group that's in the area, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to have like a mix of people and AI and
I know this is a nitpicky thing since we're all used to video games and having sort of nonsensical things, but spawning in has always been one of those things that kind of bugs me, and it's nice to see that they actually went back and did stuff that I respected from other games and had it so there's a real, like, mechanism for you spawning in instead of you just appearing out of no place.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, the only other one that I thought they could think of that did that pretty well was the Unreal Tournament games, because you had a base with the teleporter things.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a nice touch when you can tell someone's kind of thought through the environment, the whole like environment that they're working in, like set the ground rules, and this is how we operate with this universe.
Yeah, the one that I got spoiled on and is probably worth another drinking game just on my part alone for me at times that I mention it is the Battlefield 2142 game. It was sort of the same idea. You'd spawn at bases or from APCs, which would make sense as troop carriers. So,
right.
Instead of just randomly popping up in environments and whatnot.
Yeah.
Which it would still do from time to time, but it would still make more of an effort to have an explanation for you popping up than
yes.
most games would.
Yes.
Especially that far back. So.
Yeah. Apparently, from a listener, we had a question non-related to video games, but they asked if we mentioned apparently George Lucas getting married in the news. And no, we did not. I had no idea that he got married.
Wow, we're not congratulations. Official geeks at all.
Congratulations.
Unless somebody's pulling our leg.
I'll verify while we discuss.
Congratulations, Mr. Lucas,
yeah.
if it's true.
Yeah. We're glad you're listening to us.
Yeah.
Yes,
Mr. George.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, guys, did you mention that I got married? That's not really
right.
a George Lucas impression, but, you know. Imagine him typing that.
Thank you for the shout out, Mr. Lucas.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Apparently, George Lucas has just married Melody Hobson.
Okay.
So there you go.
Congratulations, Mr. Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
We here at Robots Attack wish you many years of happiness and all that jazz.
Yes.
It looks like he'll be happy.
Yeah.
Cool.
She seems like a nice lady from the pictures.
Yeah. I don't know. She seems friendly.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
So from Titanfall 2,
from Titanfall,
unless there was something else you wanted to mention about Titanfall.
Nah, that's it. I don't want to completely wear out people on it. So.
It is definitely a big, since it's going to be an X1
exclusive.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, not counting PC and 360 version.
Right.
Which,
yeah.
Who knows? But
yeah.
It seems like the one is, console-wise, like that's the
kind of concentrating
one.
On
yeah.
it.
Mm.
Yeah. Sort of a big deal.
Yeah, one of the big ones for me is going to be Battlefield 4, because it's like you brought up 2142. That's one that like brought me into the Battlefield universe, and it was one of the first ones that introduced the commander role, right?
Not technically the first one, I believe, but yeah, they had it in previous ones, but it definitely fleshed it out more as something that made a little bit more sense, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it made sense that there were like satellites overhead and stuff like that.
Right. But yeah, that's one of my favorite parts about that game. And they're bringing it back for 4 plus 64 player maps. That's like just.
Yeah, that's the way that first person shooters are meant to be played.
Yeah. This is first person shooters as God intended them.
Right.
We've
it's in the Bible, dang it.
Yeah, that's
in Genesis chapter whatever.
That's the big draw, because it seemed like there was stuff missing from 3. It just what now, like 4 seems like what they wanted to do with 3 on the consoles, but they just couldn't.
I feel like 3 was hitting the limitations of what the 360 hardware could produce, and just like, yeah, we
3 was a PC game, and it just so happens to also be on the consoles, but.
Kind of,
hey, you probably want to get it on the PC.
Yeah, that was kind of how it went down, unfortunately. It was still fun to play on console, but you could tell that its roots were definitely PC. So,
yeah, especially the size of it. Like,
yeah.
Trying to play that with anything below the absolute top number of people, it gets a little bit frustrating on that game on the consoles.
Because you got to go find them. And
right.
It's a big map. Especially
right.
at the vehicle maps. Oh, is yeah. it already? Oh.
Which almost all of them are.
Yeah.
To me, thankfully, because that's what I love about that series is the vehicles. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my big ones.
Good choice.
How about you, Joe? What do you...
I'm going to mention one that no one's mentioned before, and I totally forgot about it last week,
mm-hmm.
that
okay.
I remembered it when I went home. The Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought that looked like a lot of fun. Yeah, it's another X1 exclusive. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure out what was happening. It looked hilarious, but
I loved how it started out. Like, yeah. the guy they had for PopCap Games, like, come out was like the perfect dude to introduce those games, because uh-huh. he was like, he brought that out, and then at the end he was like, "Yeah, Peggle 2." Like, he knew no one there really cares that much about Peggle 2. He's just having fun with it. Like, here's our surprise at the end. Peggle 2! Yeah! Like, I know you guys don't care about this, but whatever. Uh-huh. I thought that was really cool. And I loved this one where it starts out with, like, the Battlefield music.
Right.
And you're thinking, like, what is this? Yeah. And then you see the zombies with the, you know, in the military garb and stuff like that, and the plants and stuff.
With
like
all
that.
The digital garbling that they have.
Yeah. Like, you're like, what's going on? And then the plants start shooting laser beams. You're like, oh,
yeah,
that makes a lot more sense all of a sudden.
Yeah, I look forward to find out more, like, because they just seem to sort of show off one mode there. Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see the other modes and stuff. But yeah, it seemed like it would be a blast playing with friends.
Yes.
Yeah. And it'd be cool to see what it's like on the zombie side and just, you know, all the different, like, types of plants and abilities they can do versus what the different types of zombies can do and stuff.
Yeah.
And
that was the funnest part, was seeing, like, your favorite plants, like, pop up
and how
and
they
do cool things.
Yeah. You know, new ones they'll add and different that, and just seeing, like, you know, how they interact and, you know, it just looked like a nice sort of break between, you know, some of the quote unquote, like, bigger games. But yeah, I'll be curious to see how that plays out. Hopefully they show off some more stuff, and then when it all actually drops, because I don't remember them mentioning a release date. I don't believe it's a launch title, so
yeah, I don't think so. They're, but
because I know their Plants vs. Zombies 2 is coming out in July, so
right,
they're probably, you know, gonna focus on that a little bit more, and then so from Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, which is still kind of funny. It's like more of a COD thing, but they use a little more Battlefield since it's EA, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
So from some zombies and plants fighting each other in a garden of war.
Where do we go
where
next?
Where do we go next?
Oh, man. I don't know why my mind keeps on blanking. Like, I have it all prepared, and then as soon as it's my turn, I completely blank out. So just for now.
Dark Souls 2?
Well, yeah. See, here's the thing. Dark Souls 2 isn't actually, like, for any next-gen console. It
Yeah.
Yeah.
it agreed with you, too.
Right. I'm really excited about it, and it's definitely an
I mean, here's the thing.
E3
these are,
thing.
Yeah, these are games of E3,
and,
so.
And it looks really cool.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's so weird, like, going back to the older consoles for EA, and it's not the first thing that ends up popping into my mind.
Well, while you continue to think on that, I'll give you a chance to think on that with this PSA. San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have a limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org. That's sjanimaladvocates.org. Or look for us on Facebook. So, did that give you enough time
The game that I did want to talk about, which I guess depends on how you look at it, whether it is really a game or not, is the...
Life.
That too. But,
tell me about it.
But no, Project Spark, it really ended up impressing me a lot. And not even in the ways that I was sort of expecting it to impress me, which I know sounds weird since I'd never seen it before. But as soon as I heard of the idea, the first thing that popped into my mind, of course, is to have Sackboy's kind of like in Little Big Planet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to design things from scratch that way and have sort of the micromanaging of things. But I thought it was a really interesting way of doing things to have it be that you have options and it can kind of blanket change the world or change mm-hmm. the atmosphere of the local area that you're working on without having to actually design every single little plant and yes. building and whatnot. It was so cool seeing him like plop down a statue that's supposed to mark the center of town and watching the town build in the confines of the area that it was in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it brings into it. It just shows how much smarter the new systems are that they can utilize this stuff for yeah. making something. It's more than just AI. It's building the game as you go. And it's going to be really interesting seeing how little things like that end up being incorporated into other games. Like, the big thing that I was really nervous about with the newer games is that, of course, you have tons of detail, tons of new textures, and everything has to be high definition. So, in theory, you have people working tons and tons of time to have effectively the same surroundings that you would have been playing around in before. It's just to get it to that graphical detail that you want. And right. Project Spark ended up making me think kind of differently just because I'm realizing now that these things have that power,
mm-hmm.
you can actually have the machine figure out what the surroundings are and kind of do the work for a lot of the people. I mean, there's still going to be a lot of things that you have to have people concentrate on. But right. having the machine do the heavy lifting of a lot of that stuff, it was really impressive to see that they're actually making it do that instead of trying to micromanage everything like you would be designing a level in Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it's neat, too, showing off that you could throw different AI personalities into
objects
and stuff, and mm-hmm. then you could change a character. So if he comes, okay, when I come up and meet this person, I could have him wave at me or follow me or, you know, it will mm-hmm. attack me, or if I do this certain mm-hmm. action, this is how I want them to react to it. But in a simple way, like they were showing off the demo too, of just, you know, it was going through a menu system, but it did seem like it flowed really well when they were showing it off. So it'll be right. cool. And the fact that it's, from what I hear, free to play, so yeah. giving it to everyone is a good chance that you'll have a better shot of getting more things than just
yeah.
that handful of people that are going to buy it. And then,
and it's one right, of the things, right. I mean, even though admittedly I've never owned a PS3, is one of the things that I really wanted a PS3 for was Little Big Planet.
Mm-hmm.
But what was instantly daunting when I was watching people try and use it was like, oh man, I have to figure out every single little angle and everything like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not that it's bad, but that's a lot. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's
a lot of time.
It gives you a lot of appreciation for what a good level design is, but at the same
time, for the current generation of stuff, yeah. But yeah, it's neat seeing how the systems are evolving and pushing forward.
Mm-hmm.
So from Project Spark to
I just scrolled past it. Mad Max looks actually kind of interesting because I'm curious, well, because with Borderlands sort of reviving sort of the post-apocalyptic genre.
Okay. How do you feel about it being American now instead of Australian?
I thought you were going to mention Destiny, but okay.
Both of them, they got nice, big, deep, potentially interesting.
Wait, where are you going here?
Universes, come on now. Wells to draw yeah. from.
Because on the one hand, they haven't really mentioned a whole lot
yeah.
about Mad Max yet. I mean, I'm excited for it just because I like Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
And it sounds like they're trying to do a mix of vehicle stuff and, you know, foot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, but you did remind me that I've been...
Because we've got 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
So pick the game you want to talk about.
Destiny, then. Destiny is definitely the one I'd rather talk about, because the environment of that one and the basis of the game, I think, is really fascinating, because it's an open-world, squad-based game. So, like, uh-huh. you know, you and your friends can go wandering around the planet, and while you're going through it, doing your own thing, like doing like your little
small scale encounters. You'll walk into a space, and all of a sudden, a large scale encounter will happen.
Yeah,
and people and other teams, other players in the game world will show up and start taking on this event also.
Yeah,
and that's just really cool because it's like it really sort of makes it feel like you're a loosely affiliated group of teams, like but you're all cooperating together after a fashion because the goal is this event. You get there, you do your thing, and then everyone gets a reward for being a part of it, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love too how like the players will come in to the game. So you know when your friend comes in, so a ship flies by.
Yes,
and you drop out.
Yeah,
that looked really cool. Like seeing the couple that showed up to hang and roll with your.
Prepare to take a drink because to me it looks like the spiritual successor of Mass Effect, but
Mass Effect multiplayer.
Yeah,
yeah, I could see that.
Well, both in a weird sort of way. It looks like a weird hybrid of Mass Effect multiplayer and the regular single player, not just in like kind of the setting, but when they were showing off sort of the different powers and abilities, it reminded me a lot of the different bio attacks that people have in Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah, the biotics and stuff like that. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's kind of a loot sort of Borderlands 2 system and, MMO.
It's taking loot. Such a good... It's like it's taking all the best parts of games that I already like and putting them into one game, and it's just kind of like, brains doing all tons of serotonin, making all my happy brain things go happy.
Yeah, and it's what's kind of interesting about E3 this year, too, is that all of these companies that you feel like you kind of had a handle on what they do, every single one of them kind of surprised us, it seems like.
Yeah, that's a good point. Definitely. So what's your next pick, Joe?
I will quickly mention two, just because they didn't really talk about them at all, like very much. They just showed a trailer. And to sort of give Sony some love, since a lot of these have, not necessarily Xbox One, but, you know, just so it doesn't sound like we are Xbox fanboys or something.
Right.
I liked the trailer for The Order 1886.
Yes.
As the style just looks right up my alley. It wasn't any gameplay, so I don't know how the gameplay will actually be, but I liked the trailer. And then also on the Sony side, for one of their indie titles, they just kind of showed briefly, I believe it was called Secret Ponchos. It was supposedly kind of like a supernatural spaghetti western kind of mix. They just showed a little bit of game play footage, kind of third person shooter. Those two looked pretty cool. So from there to
let's see.
I mean, I can mention more. But
go for it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna mention, since no one really bought, which this one surprised me. I know Metal Gear Solid is crazy, so there wasn't the craziness and wackiness of what they showed that surprised me. But man, that open world looked awesome.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw the trailer, but just like him roving around.
It was pretty impressive.
On the horse, grabbing the Jeep, driving through, sneaking around. Like, that, all that stuff looked really fun.
Yes.
And then, you know, you pile on the craziness that is Metal Gear Solid with all the bosses and insane story, and now you have Kiefer Sutherland. And
It was interesting, too, just... to me, hearing about how excited Kojima was about the Xbox One, and I know it has a lot to do with all of the cloud stuff and so on, at least from what I understood, but it's so weird, like, having him be so passionate about something that he had nothing to do with until right now.
That's true.
But just the world of that looks really fun, and I've played most of the other ones, so at least all the numbered ones, so I'm sure I'll be grabbing that just to experience the world and see some of those crazy bosses that you encounter and watch some 20 minute 25-minute long cutscenes. It'll be nice. Sit back, get some popcorn or something. Like, ooh, get a movie and a game. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, next, someone else.
Tom Clancy's The Division. That looks epic. It's like, yeah, another one's combining elements from other games that I liked a lot, like the subtle HUD, like in the
Dead Space.
Dead Space games.
Yeah.
Like, that looks great. And also the interactions, the little gyro chopper, the quad rotor chopper flew in with the little tablet header on. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Some dude's playing that from his tablet? That is so awesome.
I know. Yeah, that seems to be a major thing at E3 was tablet integration or hopefully smartphone or just,
right.
You know.
Not the console pure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a neat thing. I hope that gets embraced more and more in games and it'd be cool to see where. Because like the commander mode.
Yeah.
For Battlefield 4. You can do that from
a tablet. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that one, I think that was like the big, one of the big surprises from E3. It was like, what the heck is this? And like Tom Clancy's Division and like, whoa, yeah, that looks really cool.
Yeah. That looks like a lot of fun.
I want to play that with my friends. Like, it's so many games that are like, I can't wait to sit down and play this with my friends.
Mm-hmm,
like, yeah. You know, there were ones that were like, all right, that looks cool. I can sit back and play by myself. But there were so many that were like, I can't wait to get my hands on that, sit down and play with my friends.
Yeah. Like, the shared experience stuff is like much bigger part of this E3, I felt like.
Yeah.
Which I think is something that was a much stronger play on one than PS4 in a lot of ways. Not that they shifted it, but... Mm. Sony seems to be definitely playing up their solo campaign stuff, it seemed like.
Yeah, it seemed like they made a big thing with indie developers,
yeah.
And yeah, and just, yeah, you know. But yeah, it'll be cool to see, hopefully. I mean, with the cloud stuff and everything, like playing all these games with your friends, how that comes out, so... We'll probably have time for one more game, so
I'm just going to mention sort of a trend that I thought was kind of interesting, and I'm glad because not only did they mention that they're going to make another Mirror's Edge, which it sounds like it, strictly speaking, isn't going to be a sequel to it, but it's going to be kind of a restart.
A reboot, sort of it, yeah.
But there's another Mirror's Edge game.
Right, but the neat thing to me was that they're emphasizing the free running, and they're not just doing it in that. I was looking for the name of the... I think I see it here. There was a game called Dying Light that looked really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a free running zombie game, which looked really cool and seemed to have a little bit of a magic system to it also, which I sort of wonder how that's going to work. But it's cool seeing that combination right there. And then... the thing that really threw me off, which I shouldn't have been surprised about, is that the new Final Fantasy game effectively looks like a free-running game also.
Yeah.
And I should have guessed, like, after the movie Final Fantasy Advent Children, that they'd try and push that direction and have something that was more of a free-running, jumping all over the place and trying to deal with things in a lot less static way than the Final Fantasy games ever have before.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to see that they'd actually made the Versus game into a full-on game of its own with as 15 and had the courage to take it a completely different direction than they've gone before. And it just looks like it'd be a lot of fun to play.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely a lot of games, E3, that we're definitely looking forward to. And there's still a couple other gaming conventions, you know, to drop. So I'm sure we'll see more and more as the year goes on. That's going to do it for our show for tonight. You've been listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We are the one and only geek-centric talk show. Please tune in next Monday from 6 to 8. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. And real quickly, Caleb, tell them one last time how they can participate in the show and check out previous episodes of the show and whatnot.
If you're interested in interacting with us more, we encourage it. And if you go to... Robots Attack, do a search on Facebook for Robots Attack, two words. You'll find us. We should be one of the top hits. Or you can find us on Twitter, Robots Attack me, or you can find us at robotsattack.me, which is our own webpage. We have our archive episodes there, and we also have the links to all the thing to Facebook and Twitter, and our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. All of that at robotsattack.me. Go there and you'll find all that you need. About us, that is.
And everything else, yeah. One stop shop, yeah. Alrighty, well, again, thanks again for listening. I'm Joe. I have Caleb, Jason. Yep. Have a good weekend, or rest of the week, actually.
Rest of the week, yeah.
And weekend.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're still not used to the Monday thing.
So before we were on Thursday, and so it was kind of, you know, beginning of the weekend. But now we're on Monday, the beginning of the week. So, hooray.
So happy week.
Yeah.
Enjoy a comic book Wednesday and all that good stuff.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we are Robots Attack.
Veronica. Misto.